Blog Talk Radio. Okay, and that was Mona Garcia, and it was from her CD, Personal Journey. That is actually the song, Personal Journey. And if you would like to hear the rest of that fantastic CD, check out Mona Garcia, Personal Journey. I think it's personaljourney.com, but if you look up Mona Garcia, you'll find it. Okay, so everybody, thank you for being here tonight, and I'm excited to have Donna DiPietro on. She's a paranormal investigator, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about that and other things, of course. Donna is, I have to say, I know she is one of the most stunningly beautiful women I've ever seen. Okay, but she's not just beautiful. She's also an accomplished musician, psychic, paranormal investigator, of course, published author and public speaker, and mother of three. Donna experienced a near-death episode, among many other supernatural encounters, including a continued relationship with her beloved husband, Al, from the other side. She has solved crimes with her abilities and assisted countless others in understanding life after life. And you can read more about Donna at her blog spot, which is listed on the show page, http://psychicstudy.blogspot.com. So let's bring Donna on and see how she's doing. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Corrine. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so glad that you're here joining me, and you're going to talk about all this cool stuff that you... Yeah.
And that was a wonderful... That was a wonderful introduction, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Donna, I mean, I just, like, I think you are so, I'm sorry, you guys, I know I sound like a freak, right? But I just think you are so pretty.
Yeah, but, you know, that picture was taken a couple of years back, so.
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. I'm sure you're as beautiful as ever, and I'm sure you're just as beautiful inside. Okay, so Donna, now, you know, I was looking at your blog spot, and you've got all these different stories that you've, you know, told on the blog spot, and I hope that you're going to be adding more, too, as you say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I haven't even added a lot of my stories.
Right, right. So can you tell me, like, Donna, what was, like, the first time you knew that you were sensitive?
Well, I'd say as far back as I can remember, which would be, say, around 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old. And I remember being in my living room by myself, playing, sitting on the floor, and I felt like there were people around me, and I could see them. And all I saw really was their, from their shoulders up. I didn't see their whole bodies, and they'd be around all around the room next to the ceiling, and they looked very nice, you know, like sort of angelic, and they seemed to be related somehow, like either they were my ancestors or some kind of guardian angels or whatever, but I was never afraid of them. And it's strange, but, you know, when you're a child, you're you know, you use your imagination and all of that. So as I got older, you know, I was kind of curious about, was that really my imagination or what? But then I find that I believe that they really are around me, and because over my lifetime I've seen and, you know, all these experiences I've had and all. So it's just... you know, these things happen to me, and I try to figure them out, and try to figure everything out, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, and I wonder, Donna, I mean, you know, we don't all have these abilities, of course. I wonder how having these abilities has changed your life. Now, I know your husband, Al, passed away, was it 3 or 4 years now, or...
2 years ago. It was March 2012. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, that's horrible. It's a horrible thing to have happen. But so you being sensitive, how is it, how was it maybe different for you to lose someone that you loved so very much? How did your sensitivity affect this?
Well, you know, he told me before he passed away, because he had cancer, so we knew he was going to die. And he said to me that he would try to reach me, if he could, after he passed away, to prove that there is an afterlife. And he has reached me and in a number of different ways. And also people have seen him around me. It's amazing. For instance, I'd say about 3 weeks after he passed away. I was it was a little bit after 7 in the morning, and I was sitting up in bed having my coffee and reading the newspaper, you know, and all of a sudden there was this loud knock on my nightstand. There were 3 loud knocks, and you'd have to use your knuckles, you know, really hard to get these knocks around. And I was living by myself, you know. So I got up and I said, "Al, is that you?" And I went all around the nightstand trying to figure it out, and I tried knocking on the nightstand to make it sound as loud as I heard, and I really had to use a lot of effort to do that. And there were 3 knocks. And then the next time, which 6 days later, the same thing happened on his nightstand on the other side of the bed, and there were 2 knocks. So I got up and checked that too, and it was around the same time. I was reading the newspaper, having coffee, sitting up in bed. So the thing is, you know, he had a great sense of humor, and he used to play this joke a lot. And what would happen is we'd be in bed, and it was, you know, you're dozing off a little after 11 after watching all the terrible news on TV. And he would knock on his nightstand, like just kidding around, like a few knocks to see what I'd say. So if I didn't say any, he was waiting for me to say, "What was that?" And then we'd laugh, you know, because I knew it was him. So if I didn't say anything, he'd say, "Did you hear that?" You know? And I'd say, "What?" And we'd laugh about it and all of that. And he used to leave these little notes around for me, usually on, you know, those little sticky memo things. And it would say, "I love you, Donna." So the second time that I know it was him knocking on his nightstand, there were 2 knocks. The first time it was my nightstand, 3 knocks. So it's almost like it's a message. The 3 knocks are, "I love you," and then 6 days later, "Donna." And it's crazy. And you know, I volunteer at the hospital. I play the piano there and talk with the patients. And so one day I happen to be in there in the waiting room talking with this woman, and she after, you know, she didn't want to say anything because there were people around, but after she, the next time I saw her, she said to me, "Donna, I didn't want to say anything because, you know, she was waiting for her ride and there were people around and everything." She said, "But as I was talking to you, this mist appeared right beside you and it formed into your husband, and he was standing right beside you." And she said it was amazing. And this also happened another time, too. My friend Patty was over for lunch at my house, and I was playing the piano. And she's not one of these who is really a believer, but I looked over at her and she was crying, and I said, "What's wrong, Patty?" And she said, "Al is here." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, the whole room, the whole atmosphere of the room changed, and she saw this mist, and it was around me and around the piano." And I said, "Well, what color was it?" She said, "Like a whitish gray, and then it formed into Al. And he was right around me." And I know that, you know, a couple of days after he passed away, I had to go to the hospital because I had a rapid heartbeat from all the, you know, stress and everything. So I was, I went in and, you know, I brought a coffee cake and went to see the nurses and doctors who took care of him and all of that. I thought since I was there, I might as well go see them. He died on a Saturday, and this was a Monday. And, you know, to thank them and everything. And so I went in to get my blood checked because of the rapid heartbeat. And so they said, "Oh, we'll take you in right away, and we'll bring you into the pediatric area so they'll, you don't have to wait around," because they knew, you know, that Al had just passed away. So I was sitting on this large, it was weird, this very wide seat. Like for, it seemed like 2 people could fit there. So the nurse says to me, "Oh, yeah, the seats are very wide because usually a parent comes in with a child, you know." So I said, "Well, my husband is sitting next to me." And it seemed like she didn't even, you know, like it didn't faze her at all. And as I went in and I was giving them my information and everything before this, you know, to the guy who was sitting at the computer asking my date of birth and name and all that stuff, I could feel Al right there next to me, and he used to have this thing where he would squeeze my pinky finger, and so I felt him doing that, and he was holding my hand, and it was amazing. It was just so other people have felt this energy in my right hand, and it's like he holds my hand, and all this energy surges through it. And if I were to touch someone, they can feel this energy. I know my daughter Alicia has felt it, and my son Jonathan, and other people. So it's just amazing.
So you that is amazing to actually feel him holding your hand.
Definitely. Yeah, he is around me. I know that. Sometimes he isn't here, though. Sometimes he has things to do. I know that. But I feel him around me very often. And I have seen him also. I saw him. Actually, it was on his birthday. He died in March. His birthday was April 28th. And I was in the living room. It was in the evening. And I was watching the news at night. And I saw something move the corner of my eye. And I looked. And it was him jogging in place in the living room. And it's something that he would do often, you know, as he was watching TV. And I've seen him get up from his easy chair, too. But I haven't seen him for a while, you know, actually with my eyes. And it's the first time I ever saw, well, a spirit with my actual eyes. Usually I would see them with my peripheral vision, you know, the third eye. And that's the way I usually see things, it's almost like watching a movie. But this
right.
is very different. And it's just, unusual, let's say.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's usual. And why wouldn't he be around you? I mean,
definitely. Right? He said the reason he didn't want to die, of course, who does? But he says he didn't want to leave me. So I know he's around.
Right.
I can
have
feel
you,
him around.
Yeah. Donna, have you tried to take photographs of,
No, I
just
haven't.
Oh, you should try that. And
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and maybe also, I don't know what you think about these devices of capturing EVPs and such.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, too.
Yeah, definitely, because, I mean, it just seems like, you know, you being a sensitive, you would, you know, you're right in tune, and he's there willing to,
right.
you know. It's so funny the way he joked with you about knocking on the table.
Yeah, on the nightstand, and it was and no one could make that loud noise. You know, it's like 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and that's what he used to do. He'd knock like 3 times, like really loud. But it was always on his nightstand, and this time it was on my nightstand the first time, which is only about an inch away from the bed. So of course he would get my attention, and I caught up and I examined the nightstand, and I said, "Wow, this is great," because I knew it was him. And then, of course, 6 days later, when he knocked on his own nightstand at around the same time, then I was very sure it was him sending me a message: "I love you, Donna."
Right, right. Wow.
I mean, I still find those little notes around, and it says, "I love you, Donna."
Yeah, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. He was a handsome man.
He sure. Yeah, I'll say he sure is.
Yeah.
He sure is. I almost passed over on Valentine's Day, and you know about that, right?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. Yeah, what you said on Curious Times.
Yes, yes. And, it's
but you knew
like
you had to come back.
Yeah, you know, it's strange because when I was passing over, it's almost like, I mean, everything was white, but I could see people there, and he was there. My parents were there. It's like he was so close to me, you know, his nose was practically touching my nose. And it's almost like, in a way, they were sort of, I don't know, like, what are you doing here? This isn't your time. Like, it's almost like they were reprimanding me. What are you doing here? This is, what is this, you know? It's not your time. You know, but it's your choice. It's your choice. And then I thought of the children, and I knew I couldn't because, you know, they had just lost their dad. So that was.
Yeah, and I think that your favorite child, Alicia, I know she's really your favorite, but you won't say that, Donna. But
well, you know, Alicia would always say that my mother, see, my parents had six children, and I was the last one. And so Alicia said that she never knew who their favorite was because my parents would never favor any of us. We always got, you know, the everything, you know, the love from them equally and the attention and all of that. So I don't think my children really know who my favorite is. I think I think sometimes I think it's my dog, you know. Because we all love our little dogs.
Right.
As you know, Alicia has four little dogs. But I love all my children. They're all wonderful. But Alicia is very, very special. And, you know, I know that she loves me so much. And it's just... It's
yeah, she does. She so is nice. Very special. Very special. Okay, so I wanted to, you know, I read a message today on Facebook that psychic medium Laura Dupree was saying, and she was, you know, I guess she was at some restaurant, and she heard a woman saying, "That's my baby," about the waitress, like, you know, like it was the girl. But she said, you know, she didn't say anything, even though she got this really strong message, like the woman wanted her to say something. What do you think about that, Donna? Do you give messages to people? Just say you were to get a message. Would you give it to somebody without them asking for it?
Well, would it be someone that you didn't know and you just happened to, like a waitress or something, like you mentioned?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the person. It's almost like you can kind of sense if they would be receptive of a message. Sometimes people, they have a wall up around them, and you can tell that they're not believers, and they probably look at you strangely. And then other times you can just sense that they would be happy to get a message. So it depends, you know. I seem to make friends easily, like if I'm waiting in line at the grocery store or something. Like this lady yesterday, we were talking and all. We found out our birthdays are the same week and same age and that type of thing, you know. So if it was someone like her, I didn't even know who she is, I would say something to her. But if it was someone else, you know, you have to be careful what you say to people nowadays because, you know, all the crazy
things. Yeah, you're right. I know. But I wonder, like, I mean, sometimes you might get something very important that you need to tell someone, you know. And, of course, that probably would be somebody you knew.
Oh, yeah. But, I would tell someone if I knew them or also if I felt they would be receptive of it. Like, I could sense if they, you know.
Right. If they would accept it, yeah. Is there anything? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, there was a very, like when you mentioned this, it was a very strange thing that happened years ago, and I was in Boston with my husband, and this could have been, you know, 30 years ago, and Alicia knows about this. You know, I mentioned it. You know, a few times, but it's just so weird. I've never really mentioned it to anyone else. We were, you know, on Newbury Street, and we were just walking along the sidewalk, ready to cross the street, and this woman came along, and she was probably like in her 40s, and she had this little girl with her, and the little girl was very cute, you know, about 6 years old. And I looked at them, and for some reason, I just got this terrible feeling like that little girl wasn't hers, like it was some sort of, I don't know, like did she kidnap this little kid, or what the story was, I don't know. I just had this terrible feeling about it, but there was nothing I could do. I didn't know who these people were. They think I was crazy. They probably called the police. And maybe I wasn't right. And maybe the little girl was adopted. Maybe that's why I saw something like that. You know, so I just have to be careful about my emotions. And if I see something, how do I know that it's really true? It's like the time when I was working, and I had this feeling that the Pope was going to be shot within 24 hours, and I kept seeing it in my mind, and I just knew that I had to tell someone, because if I didn't tell someone that day, and it did happen the next day, no one would believe me, you know, if I don't tell someone. So I was working with through a temp agency. It was a long time ago, and I was working in this office. And as a matter of fact, it was the same hospital that I volunteer at and where Al passed away at, Newton Wellesley Hospital in Wellesley, Massachusetts. So I was working in this office on the first floor. And at that time, they didn't have a computerized system. It was before, you know, those days. So they had a, you know, these switchboard operators in this room, and it was a big horse-shaped, U-shaped desk. And about six women would sit around answering the phones and putting the calls through and all that. So they got to know me, and I would tell them things about themselves. But it was all more entertainment. So I said, okay, I have to tell someone. So I went out, my office. You had to go through their room to get to my little office. So I went out in their room, and I said, I have this terrible feeling the Pope is going to get shot within 24 hours. You know, I don't think. He's not going to die, but he's going to be hurt, but he'll be okay. So the next day, I'm at work, and an employee runs down from another office and runs into the switchboard room and says, oh, my God, I just heard on the radio that the Pope was just shot. And they said, what? That's what Donna said. And I said, what, what? And I came out of my room, and I said, what? You know, so it's just these crazy things that happen. And what would happen, I mean, I wasn't 100% sure, because how can you ever be 100% sure? And if I were to call the police or the FBI or whatever, they'd think I was crazy. And they would think, oh, she must be in on it. How would she know? You know, it's just...
Yeah. I know.
I have a contact with a senator now. I could tell... him, get word to him, but what could he do? No one could do anything, because even if the FBI believed me and they, whatever, the CIA, what could they do anyway? You know?
Right. No, you're right. That's something that your hands are really tied, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, I know that you've also done predictions.
Oh, yeah.
And you've gotten, I think I read most of them came to be.
Yeah, they have. I mean, just crazy things. Predicting things like, you know, years ahead of time. For instance, I don't even know if I wrote this one up yet, but this is kind of a crazy one. I was at a family wedding up in Rochester, New York, and there was this woman there, one of the guests, and we were all sitting around a table. And so they knew I was psychic because it was my niece's wedding, and of course all her friends knew I was psychic, right? So what do you see about me? So I'm sitting at the table with these lot of young ladies there, and I said, well, someone at the table thinks that they can't have a baby, and they're going through all of these treatments and things, going to different doctors and everything. So I wasn't really sure which one it was. it was one of two, you know. I wasn't sure which one. So one of them says, oh, that's me, and it was the one right across from me. And she says, oh yes, you know, we've been trying for years and going to all these specialists and everything. So I said to her, well, in 8 years, you're going to have a beautiful baby girl, and she'll be a gift from God. And she's going to be very artistic and, you know, all this stuff, right? So what happens is, years later, and this just happened, like, this wedding took place, I'm thinking, how long ago? It was a long time ago, in the 1990s? I don't even know. But anyway, this lady happens to email me, and it was the lady that I had told was going to have the baby. And she says, I've been searching for you for years. She said, because everything you told me happened, everything. I told her about her past and what would happen in the future and everything. So to make a long story short, she said, I got a hold of your niece. And she was a guest at the wedding through someone that my niece knew. So my niece didn't even really know her, but, you know, that well. So my niece gave her my email, and this lady emailed me. And she said, everything you said happened. She said, exactly 8 years later, we had a beautiful baby girl, and now she's, you know, she's a teenager, and she's an artist, actually. And
wow.
She won some contest designing a gown for the American Cancer Society, and she actually emailed me over the newspaper clipping with the picture of her up on the stage with one of the cancer patients wearing the gown that she designed. And
wow.
The lady, and the name of the girl, I don't want to say it on the air, but it means gift from God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Donna, why are you afraid to do readings? Are you afraid to do readings, first of all?
Well, you know, I've never really, you know, it's crazy. It seems like I do the best readings when I'm in with a lot of people, and people, it's so nice that people believe, when you're around people that believe, and it depends on where you are. Like certain places where I've worked, I know I've worked in law offices, and that's the worst place to do readings.
Yeah, I'm sure.
it's just so sterile, and people don't believe, you know. But certain places, you know, like if you're at a wedding reception or with a group of people, it seems, I would like to try, but I know I would think it's difficult to turn it on and off.
Okay,
know?
Well, can you try to turn it on right now? Donna,
yeah.
For the hell of it?
I could turn it on, yeah, for the hell of it, for the I mean, this is crazy, you know. All these
because
things.
Your track record is proof, Donna, that you,
yeah.
You know, like you see. Okay, I was going to ask you the question: why do you believe you're here on Earth? Why, you know, and I don't know even what your answer. I mean, it's
them.
A wide open question. I understand. However, I
okay.
think one of the reasons that you might be here is
yeah.
to share your talent.
Yeah.
I mean, but it
well,
sounds like you're hesitant, and I'm just not sure why you are hesitant, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like I've tried to live a normal life. That's the thing. And then these things, I know it's crazy, but these things happen to me, and it's hard to believe that they actually happen. And at times, you know, when I was younger, like raising the children and all that, I would wonder, what am I, crazy or something? You know, how can I do these things? So I'd turn it off, and then someone would call me to help them. And then I thought, gee, that I'm not really crazy because I have all these witnesses and proof and everything. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when people call me to find missing objects, even to find missing people, just a lot of crazy things, and it's all detail that I see in my mind. And I've been trying to figure it out. And other people might say, oh, why figure it out? Just go along with it, you know? But I just find it very interesting in how your mind and, you know, your spirit, all of this, how it all connects. And it's, I don't know why. I don't know why I can do these things.
I know, but it's obviously meant to be.
I mean, the experience that really affected me the most is when I spoke in German and wrote in Polish. And I don't know.
Oh my God!
I don't know. You know that one?
No.
That was like the most, you know, emotional one. And even when I talk about it now, it's very emotional. Would you like me to tell you about it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was the concert manager at New England Conservatory, and so I was there for 7 years. It was before I got married. I was there for a year when I was married, too. But that's where I met my husband, because he was a music teacher there. And so one day I was on lunch break, and it was very quiet, so I was in the ladies' lounge, and they had a fireplace and a couch and chairs and all that. So I was by myself, and I had a deck of cards. So I was just sitting there putting each card down, trying to guess what card it was, you know, just for fun, you know. And I was
right.
I was in my early 20s. So this lady came in, and I didn't know who she was, but I had seen her about two times from a distance down the hall. And I didn't know if she was a new teacher or a new employee or what. So she came in, and she says, oh, hi, I'm Lydia. What are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just trying to guess what cards are coming up. And she said, oh, for some reason she knew there was something going on. And she says, oh, do you tell fortunes? And I said, well, just for fun, right? So she says, oh, why don't you tell my fortune? So then I'm trying to, like, think of what to do when you tell a fortune. So what I did is I had her shuffle the deck and do all these little things, turn the deck around three times and this and that. So I'm kind of, you know, playing the part of a fortune teller, just kind of for fun. And then I looked at her and I said, you know, I don't use cards to read people. I said, I can see things in my mind. So I put the cards down, and she says, well, what do you see about me? And I said, oh, I see this name, but it doesn't look English. And she said, oh, here, write it down. So I wrote down this name, and she said, you just wrote my father's name down in Polish, right?
Oh, my God.
And she says, what do you see about him? And I said, well, and I described him, and I said, he has valuable coins in his pocket, and they're being taken away, and I see barbed wire. She said, yes, he was taken away by the Nazis, and he had valuable coins in his pocket, and they took them away. So I'm telling her all these things, and I'm describing when she was a little girl growing up in Poland and her house and everything. So lunch break was over. So she said she really wanted to talk with me more about this. So she invited me to her apartment in Boston one day after work that week. And so we went, and as soon as I walked in, I mean, she was the only one there, but as soon as I walked in the apartment, I said, you have, you know, there's a young lady who lives here who's pregnant and not married. And she said, yes, how do you know? She said, that's my roommate, you know? And
right.
So we sat down at the kitchen table for 3.5 hours, and I was really on that night, you know, like, it's really getting all this information. It was amazing. And so I said, I see this young man, his name is Edmund, and he has on a military uniform, his blonde hair, and it's parted, you know, a certain way and all that. So and I said, he was found dead with a letter in his pocket, and it had blood on it. So she said, you're talking about my brother, Edmund. And she went in the bedroom and brought out this beautiful gold frame picture of her brother, exactly how I pictured, with the uniform and everything. And it was just like very emotional. So, you know, I'm going on talking, telling her all these things, and then it's like I was in this sort of a trance. You know what it was? All the time, the 3.5 hours, I knew what I was doing, like I was aware of where I was and what I was doing and all of this, but I was getting all this information from somewhere, and I'm talking, and I know what I'm saying, but I'm wondering where this information was coming from. So she's looking at me, and she starts crying, and she said, "You just spoke in German." I said, "I did.
Jesus.
I don't speak German." She said, "You just gave me a message from my best friend, Anna." She said, "The last time I saw her, she was on the back of a truck, and she was brought to a concentration camp, and she died there. And she was only 15 years old."
Mm.
So I said, "What did I say?" And she said, "You said, oh, you know what Anna told Lydia when she was on the back of the truck? She yelled to Lydia, 'If there's any way I can reach you, I will.' So what I said in German is, 'This is Anna. I am reaching you now.'" Now, that is just amazing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This little 15-year-old girl, Anna, waited all these years, looking for someone all these years to make contact with Lydia, that was able to get this message from Anna to give to Lydia.
Oh, see?
Isn't that crazy? Now, this was in the 70s.
Yeah. It's not crazy. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And when I think about it, and I can see Anna, and I can describe her, and I feel like she's still around.
Yeah.
It's just very, very emotional when I feel that. It's
right.
It's just amazing.
It is. And so, I mean, you know, you've had so many amazing experiences with this knowing that you have. And I understand if you don't, you know, want to open up to people. I guess I understand. If it was me, Donna,
I'd tell everybody.
Like,
no, I'd like to open up to people, but I want people to understand that, you know, a human, and I wonder if I really am human, you know, sometimes maybe I'm alien, I don't know, part alien. You wonder, you know, it's like we're not machines and we can't be turned on and off. And sometimes the connection is there and sometimes it isn't. And
For instance, Donna, do you feel any, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but do you sense, I mean, you know a little tiny bit about me.
Yeah.
But could you say anything else that you don't know about me right now?
Well, I don't know. You know, I see butterflies for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. And I see blue, light blue, around the butterflies.
Oh.
I see stairs. You know, stairs that go around.
Okay.
And something slippery on the stairs, so to be careful.
Oh.
In an apron hanging up. See, these things might be symbols of something.
Right, right. Well, I certainly have a lot of slippery things on my staircase that I could wipe out on.
Don't do that, for God's sakes. We need you.
We need you, too. Well, you
know,
for instance, Donna, and I know, I'm really not trying to put you on the spot here, and I appreciate you giving me, you know, a little bit of leniency here about what I'm going to say. But for instance, if you did want to start doing readings for people, you might be able to really, really, you know, I mean, what a lovely, beautiful gift it is that you have. And, you know, if you were to start doing them, you could do them actually tonight on Curious Times.
Oh, on Curious Times. Oh, oh, that's not, wait a minute.
I found
it. Is my friend Chris
found...
over there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Chris, I'm over here going, hey, Donna, how the heck are you?
Oh, I'm good. I missed my friend Chris.
Karina is making me crazy here tonight. You know what I mean? Like,
I thought you already were crazy. I thought it was crazy time.
It was called. I'll show you crazy.
Oh no.
Anyway, I was gonna pop in, Karina, when you were like, if you were gonna do readings, and then I was gonna unmute my mic and go, she'd do them at Curious Times.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm one of those. You know, Alicia is right about me because she says I'm so sensitive that I would feel bad if I didn't give a good reading, you know, if I didn't pick up on something.
Oh, my God, remember, Donna, have you heard some of those psychics out there? They're terrible.
Hey, I mean, hey, Donna, I have it in writing from you that you're going to come on my show and deliver messages.
Yeah, well, I'm good at delivering messages.
Yeah, that's what we're doing readings. Just think of it as delivering messages, you know? And,
oh, yeah.
And that's all you're doing, you know? Like, don't put the added pressure of yourself that you're going to call it, like, psychic readings or something, even though we all know that that's exactly what it is. If you feel better calling it giving messages.
Yeah. Well, God, I'll never forget the time when I was at work and this, you know, my coworker said, well, Donnie, what do you see happening, you know, in the next day or so? And I said, well, I see someone that's going to fall down and break their arm, right? And I can see a cast on it. So the next day we went to work and this woman, Ellen, wasn't there. So we found out that Ellen had gotten mugged on the way to work and she broke her arm. And you know what she said? I'm going to kill that Donna. So, you know, I might have, you know, these messages that people, like, I didn't know who was going to break their arm. I knew it was someone.
We'll just put up a notice. If you want bad news or any injuries or imminent deaths to be shared with you, please call in tonight.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's, it's funny, right, Donna, because when I was a kid, I had a dream one time, and I still remember this dream to this day. And I played basketball on the school team and stuff like that at the time, And I had this dream, and we had this huge vice principal that everybody thought was such a mean guy, but he and I got along good. And so I had this dream that these two girls from my basketball team got in trouble, and that he gave them the strap so hard that it broke their hands. You know what I mean?
No.
And so on Monday morning, the both of them showed up to school with casts on their hands, because they had been in a weekend basketball tournament and they had a collision and then they both broke their wrists.
Oh, that's terrible. Boy, you have good dreams, don't you?
Well, that was like wild, you know what I mean?
I know.
But it doesn't happen very often. Anyway, I'm going to go away now let Corinne finish her show with you.
Oh.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, it was so wonderful talking with you, Chris.
You, Donna. Take care. Nice hearing you again.
Thank you. Okay.
Donna, I was trying to rope you into doing Chris's show, but I guess she found someone because her guest canceled. So.
Oh, no. Her guest canceled. How could she do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that. But anyways, she'll have someone on good, I'm sure, tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Curious Times.
Anyway, you know, just having her is good too.
Yeah, no kidding. I know.
Yeah, I know.
Totally.
Great. Yeah, she's like an old friend, you know? Mm-hmm. When you meet her, it's like having an old friend around.
Right. Right, exactly. That's a good way to put it. Okay, so I'm just going to do a quick shout-out for the chat room. We have the lovely, 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 lovely Alicia, who is Donna's daughter. So beautiful as you are. And Christy, who, Christy, who? Curious Times, which is Chris. Aaron in Kentucky, beautiful Aaron. Fountainhead, which I believe is Diana. Hi, Diana. Jennifer's Journey, the lovely Jennifer. And I think Jennifer might be on hold to ask you a question. Jules, hey, Jules. Raven, which is Marguerite. And Sky Crow, hi, Sky. All these gals that I'm mentioning right now are just wonderful, beautiful people. And I'm so honored to know them and have made friends with them. And Bree, Angel Bree, Angie. And I Am Alive. I'm not sure who that is, but they're alive. Karen Dippy.
We always deal with dead people. Sorry.
Karen, who's such a good friend of mine. She's out in California. And Carol, the beautiful petite Carol, is your number forecast. She's a fantastic numerologist. And so much more. Very sensitive as well. Okay, so let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about whatever you've got coming up, Donna, and see if you want to make any predictions for the coming year in 2015. Don't feel pressured, but
okay.
We'll see what you come up with. Okay, we'll be right back, you guys.
All right.
Johnny Walker Red, send the poison rain down the drain to put bad thoughts in my head.
Comedy of errors.
And that was Elliott Smith singing Miss Misery. I just love Elliott Smith so much. Now, Donna, did you hear that song just now? Donna? Oh, Donna, I think I scared Donna away. Shoot. Maybe she's taking a break.
Hey, Donna, is your mic muted or did you run to the potty? Donna. Oh, Donna.
Donna. Oh,
Donna. Donna. I had a girl and Donna was her name. Donna. I think you muted your mic, or else you have fallen and you can't get a mute. She said that she say someone was going to fall?
No. Oh, no. Shoot.
I'm teasing.
I hope she's okay. Donna. I hope she's... Maybe she is in the bathroom. She probably
is everyone back?
Yeah, we're back. Here she is.
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
We were singing to you and everything. Okay, I'm going to go away.
Donna, I thought you were going on strike because of what I've been asking you to do.
Oh, no, no. I was just going over my stories here.
Oh, okay.
That's
did
my
you...
story. You know, as I say, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, you know?
Right.
So what can I say?
Did you just hear that song, Donna, that I played?
Did I hear the song?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask you if you had any feelings around that song or the singer, but that's okay. No big deal. However, I have to say we do have someone who is a very good friend of ours here, and her name is Jennifer, and she's such a sweet, sweet lady. So, would you mind taking a call with her?
Oh no, I'd love it. Is that Jennifer's Journey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's on my Facebook. She's wonderful. I love her.
Yeah. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Hello, Donna.
Hi, Jennifer. It's so nice to hear your voice in person.
You too.
Yeah.
I was just wanting to connect with you. I have always felt a big connection to you. I did tell you that. If you want to try out your... you know, what you pick up on me, I'm game. And I'm not a critic.
Okay. You know, for some reason I pick up sadness.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that lately.
Yeah
somebody's been on my mind a lot lately.
Yeah, a lot of that going on. And it's hard to focus on, you know, the future, kind of.
Right.
Yeah. It's because nothing is definite.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's with these a fence? For some reason, I see a wooden fence, and I don't know if that's a symbol for something, or if it means something.
That has came up, and I have visioned a fence. That could mean quite a few things.
What about a car?
A car?
Yeah, red car. Does that mean
a
anything
red?
Yet?
A red car?
Right. Does that mean anything to you yet?
That could mean a few things.
Okay.
That's funny you bring that up.
Well,
because I just had a dream about a red car the other night.
I knew it. I knew you did.
And I've got a funny, I've got a lot going on myself.
Okay, what about
I am
a flat tire? Has that happened yet?
Don't tell me. No, what? I haven't had a flat tire, but somebody else has.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the red car has been on my mind quite a bit lately, ever since I had that dream.
What's the red car, anyway? What's with it? Is it you dreamt about it?
Yes, I did.
Now, what
and
about
it came...
rain? What's the thing about rain?
Well, rain.
Yeah.
I don't like the rain because I've got some arthritic conditions that the rain
okay.
does bother me.
Yeah.
But I used
okay.
to love the rain.
Yeah, I knew there was like a connection with rain with you. And you loved the rain, but now you don't because it affects your arthritis.
Right. And my ability started when I was, this was in my early preteen years, with a hard rain and then a thunderstorm. So rain has always been significant.
Are you sort of afraid of thunder? Or do you...
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
But also, do you feel like a certain energy sometimes with an electrical storm?
Yes.
That kind of gives you energy and it sort of rejuvenates?
Yes.
So it's sort of a conflict between the thunder and the lightning. It's like both of them come at the same time usually and... One can be energizing, the other one can be, terrifying.
Yes, yes.
You're pulled in all different directions.
Yeah.
You know, that's how life is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Life is beautiful, and then other times...
It's hell.
And you know,
right.
I know. You know what I think about hell? Hell is here on Earth.
I
don't believe that there really is a hell, because hell is here on Earth, and it's caused by these fanatics, things that go on. But also it can be caused by, natural things like great storms and earthquakes and plagues and all of that stuff, too. But there is a lot of beauty here on Earth. It's just too bad that some humans destroy things, including people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why we need your light. We need Jennifer's. We need everyone's light because we can be, you guys, I believe with all my heart and soul that we can turn this around. We just have to always project this good, healing.
Definitely.
So you're doing good, Donna. Jennifer, is there something you particularly wanted to ask about?
No, I just wanted to connect with her because I am the same, with me getting out there and doing my thing. It's been fear, I do it privately. I do it on the side, but getting on the air and doing it is totally different, and especially when you're going through things.
Yeah. And another thing I see, Jennifer, for you, and I don't know if it's happened yet or what, but I see a problem with one of your legs. Have you hurt your leg at all?
I've got a sciatic nerve injury. I've had it for some years, and it...
Oh, you have? Yeah.
Yeah, and it bothers me.
I can feel, how people say I can feel your pain? Well, I really can feel your pain.
I do. I feel other people.
I should actually write a song about that. Maybe there would be another Taylor Swift.
Right.
Make millions of dollars.
Yeah, I do. I get a lot of pain.
So,
in the cold,
yeah,
in the rain.
I can feel pain around you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, it's and it makes me sad because you're such a wonderful person, and I love you.
Oh, that's so sweet. From the minute Chris said you were coming on her show and I was hearing your story and I had this huge connection with you for many, many reasons. And I knew that it was somebody that's been gone from my life for the last several years that connected us. They even gave me a set of winning track numbers that night, and I didn't play. But I always feel a huge connection with you. And I knew that it was him that...
Wait a minute. Now, did this guy used to... Now, was he into horse racing at all? Because this is crazy.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
He was, because you want to know something. This is weird, because a gentleman, this elderly gentleman that I you know, met.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a reporter. Actually, it's in my blog. It's my last story I posted, but he passed away recently. He was, you know, 81 or whatever, but he used to be a reporter and a editor for the Boston Herald and the Boston Globe, and he was into horse racing. So what
Boston.
He would do... Yeah, this is crazy. So this guy, he was a writer, and he actually wrote a book called Dream Horses, and he just wrote it, and he just published it the last year he was alive. And this poor guy, he went all through his life, like he was one of these, you know, oh, I'd like to do this, but he never followed through. So the last year of his life, he decided he would finally get a book published, and he did. He had it self-published, and he was so proud of it, and he gave me a copy and everything. And then he got sick, and he died. You know, he found out he had cancer and died within, like, weeks. And how I met him is I worked with this woman who he was like a relative, and somehow I was a guest speaker at Mystery Writers of America in Boston one night, and she invited, like, she, my friend Margie, she sent out emails to all these people she knew about this. And what she did is she sent it to him by accident, because there were two people in her family by the name of, his name was Hugh Mitchell. So she sent it to the wrong Hugh Mitchell. Really weird. And it was this guy, and he was really interested in all this psychic stuff. So he went, and that's the first time I met him, was at Mystery Writers. And so what he would do is email me and ask me, and I know nothing about horse racing or any of that, but he would email mm-hmm. me and ask me what the winning horses would be for the Kentucky Derby and all these things. And I would come up with these things in my mind, and I'd just answer him right back, email, and they'd actually win. It's crazy.
Oh, my
right.
God.
Isn't
yeah,
that crazy?
I mean, yeah, he was really.
And I didn't even know who in the heck they were. And as a matter of fact, as far as predictions, now my youngest son, Jonathan, can verify this, because we were working at a real estate office, and this was, you know, about 10 years ago. Well, it was actually like 11 years ago, to be, you know. So one of the agents there, Larry, he said to me, oh, if you're so good, tell me who's going to win, you know, who's going to win, like, the horse race or something. And I said, I don't know anything about horse racing. But I said, there's a horse, a racehorse, that isn't even born yet, but in 10 years, he's going to win all these races and make all this money for his owner. And his name is Sonic Boom. And I don't know where I got this information, so I told him that. And what happened is this guy, Hugh Mitchell, who just wrote the book Dream Horses and just died, I told him that story. And he said, Donna, there is a horse called Sonic Boom, and he just won all these races, and he won all this money, and it was in India, though. Isn't that weird? And it was exactly 10 mm-hmm. years after I told the guy that in 10 years this horse would be born and race and all this stuff.
Oh, my
so
God.
So Hugh actually gave me the, you know, a printout, you know, newspaper. He printed it out for me and dropped it off in my mailbox. Just crazy.
Wow.
That's strange. Boston was just mentioned in one of my readings this past, what was it, last Saturday?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
There was so much said that day. I have to go back and listen to that. I've had some surprise readings that I didn't expect.
You know what I think, Jennifer? I think that the guy that you're talking about met the guy, Hugh, and they're talking about horse racing. They're still talking about it, and that's how you connected with me.
could be, because, he was I called him a track junkie, but he did meet some very interesting people, and I'm sure he's met some since he's been there, but he's with me all the time, amongst some others, but I knew that it was him. He gives me signs all the time, but I knew it was him that connected with the horse racing, all of it. It's just strange, and I have been getting a lot of horse symbols. You know, I know my symbols and signs, but it's been pretty strong lately. Very interesting.
That's amazing. Because this guy said to me, he said, well, you know, that was the winner in India. He said, can you come up with some in the United States? So that's when I thought, you know, he would email me and say, like, oh, this whatever derby or whatever race is coming up. Can you tell me who's going to win? So I'd come up with these names and, you know, it's crazy. And I'd say, well, this, you know, one name was Super Saver. And so I saw this word, and it had E-R on the end and the U in the middle. So I said, that's what I saw. And he said, oh, the only one that, you know, qualifies for that would be Super Saver. And another one was something to do with candy. I said, it sounds like candy. And, of course, the name had this other horse had the name Candy in it, and they won. So it's just
right.
All these, I mean, I don't know where I get these things from.
Well, no, so then the guy made all this money?
No, he didn't even bet on them.
Oh, what an idiot.
I think he lost his money over the years. I don't know. What can I say?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So anything else you're getting for Jennifer, Donna?
You know, it's weird because I did see the horses around you, but I see... I don't know. I don't know what this means or what, but it has to do with water, and it's something like a something round and filled with water, and I don't know. It seems to be plastic, and it's blue, like light blue, and I don't. I really don't know what that is, but it almost looks like a shower cap over something, like over a bowl. Like a stretchy type of plastic, light blue something over something. I know it sounds weird, but that's what I see.
Oh, I'll figure it out, I'm sure. I'm sure it will come. That, and I'm very connected with water. I can stick my hands in the dishwater lately and things start coming. It's like you're standing there washing dishes and somebody's looking back at you in the window. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting, but I'm sure I'll be figuring those things out. Why, thank you so much.
Oh, Jennifer, it was wonderful talking with you.
You too.
Okay.
And, awesome.
Yeah, Jennifer, we're also looking forward to you starting to do readings, so perhaps one night you and Donna could do readings together.
Oh, that
wouldn't that
be
awesome?
Right, Jennifer?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
We could do that, huh?
And I won't steal you guys from Curious Times because I'm sure she'll want to feed.
Oh, that Curious Times. She knows where you are. She'll come
right.
And get you.
She's pushy.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely be in touch, Donna. I will definitely be in touch. This was awesome, really awesome. Thank you so much and bless you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you,
Jennifer.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. We're glad we did. Okay. I'm going to put you on hold, Jennifer.
Okay.
So, Donna, what do you have coming up? What is, like, your dream for the next year? And do you have any productions?
Productions, too.
Do you have any predictions for 2015?
I'm sure I could make up something good. Well, I think the world is in a mess. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people really want to know what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, throw some out at us and we'll...
Well, it's only going to get worse.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. As a matter of fact, I said to Alicia a couple of months back, and I was going to put a post on Facebook... But then I was just ready to type it, and I said, no, I better not, because I don't want to you know, depress people. And, you know, and it had to do with the Middle East. And it had to do with Ebola. And I said, something has happened in the Middle East, and it's not just, you know, the regular Middle East fights. This is something else that's major. Then within days, ISIS came up, and that's been terrible. And, you know, Ebola. But hopefully that's getting under control, it seems. But I always felt that I am here as a guardian of the earth. I like to watch over things.
Yeah.
How I feel. You
okay.
know, like a protector.
Right.
And when I see things happen, it's just terrible.
I know, it is. It's too much to bear. You know what I mean? Really.
I know. Oh, you can hear my dog.
I hear the little doggy, yeah.
Yeah, the little doggy. She's sweet. Alicia actually gave me that dog, Cindy Lou, and she already had the name Cindy Lou, and she's
mm-hmm.
very bright, nice little dog.
Yeah. So do you want to say maybe a good prediction for 2015?
Oh, I'm sorry, but you came in. Like, I couldn't hear you too well.
Okay. Do you maybe want to give a good prediction for 2015?
Oh, a good prediction. Oh,
yeah.
I think things are going to pick up. Yeah, the economy is going to pick up, and things will smoothen out here in the U.S., in the good old U.S. of A.
Okay.
I think things will be a little, you know. I mean, there'll be a lot of, you know, infighting and things, but things will be a little bit better.
Okay. Well, let's hope so, right?
I hope so. I know.
So what do you want to do for the next, like, you know, do you have any plans to do, like, anything, like conferences or anything for the next, you know, year or anything like that?
No, I don't have anything really planned, no. See, a lot of things happened to me all at once. You know, my husband got ill and passed away. And, you know, my brother passed away the same year. I got very ill with atrial fibrillation and went through that for a couple of years since my husband died, ended up in the hospital. So finally in May, I had an ablation, which is a catheter ablation, and they cured my atrial fibrillation. And that's what caused me to almost die on Valentine's Day. And the doctors said that my AFib was caused by stress. It's like the fight or flight syndrome. You know,
right.
Some people can live with it, and they take meds, and it keeps it under control and all that. But mine was major. So, and then what happened all at the same time is my office closed, so I was out of a job, and I had just gotten a beautiful job that week, 3 days before I ended up at Mass General Hospital, almost dying. I got this great job, and I couldn't take it. So now that I'm, you know, just recovered from all of this, you know, I have to find a job. So that's what I've been doing. So just a lot of things going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can think of a good job for you.
Yeah.
Doing readings.
Yeah. Well, a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I hope that, you know, talking to Jennifer and everything has made you realize, Donna, that you are such a gifted woman and we need you. You know, I mean, you.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I think it would be nice to do readings with another person. I think that would be fun because you wouldn't feel the pressure of just being there by yourself.
Right, exactly. And actually, yeah. Jennifer has not yet debuted as a reader.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know she's very capable. I think she is. So if you guys got together, I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because you're both, you know, publicly, I should say, on the radio, presenting yourselves for the first time. And it would be such a treat for us.
Gee, I was surprised that I was pretty good, huh?
Yeah. No, I can't believe you're surprised. Donna, I'm going to show you.
I am. I'm always surprised. That's what it is. I'm always surprised. You know, it's like, okay, what next?
Right, right. And I think it's cool because someone asked in the chat if you meditated or how you got into the zone of doing readings. And your daughter said that it just happens. It's not anything that you will to happen. It's just, it comes naturally to you.
Yeah, it's, I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to pick up something. And then all of a sudden, as I was talking to Jennifer, all these things were coming to my mind. I could see them in my mind, you know,
mm-hmm.
and pick up feelings too.
Right, right. And that's huge. That is like, that's everything you need right there.
Yeah.
So I hope that you do consider sharing your wonderful gift with the rest of us and you think about this, about doing readings.
Yeah, I would. I will say that I will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, yeah, I just, you know, I hope one day you will come on my show and do readings. But you have so many other stories to tell that are so interesting. We have just about almost 8 minutes left, Donna. So I'm going to ask if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't touch on tonight.
Well, was there anything you wanted to ask or any of my stories you wanted me to talk about? Or
what was the most, I mean, I know about the art one that you described, the art situation.
Oh, yeah.
That you solved. Yeah, we heard that on Curious Times when you talked about that.
Yeah.
Are there any other cases like that that you haven't put on your blog spot or anything else that you seem to have solved quite a few mysteries?
Yeah, quite a few. Well, you know about the missing girl, do you?
No.
Well, there was, I was working at a REMAX real estate office recently, and that's the office that closed. And there was this little office next door, and it was an insurance company, insurance office. So, one day, you know, I was getting ready for work, and something told me I have to get to work early today because I have to go into the insurance office because someone needs my help. So I got to work early. I went into their office, and these two women working there, and I didn't even know their names. You know, I would see them when they went out and got in their cars, and we'd wave and all that, and they were nice. But they didn't know my name. I didn't know their name or anything. So I went in there, and I said, you know, I told them my name, and I said, you know, I'm a psychic, and something told me to come to work early because someone in this office needs my help. So one of them starts crying, and she said, I need your help. She says, my boyfriend, he's been searching for his daughter for almost 10 years. And, you know, his ex-wife had taken the little girl when she was, you know, young and went off somewhere, and they didn't know where in the heck she was. So anyway, I said, I will help bring her home because I could see she was in some sort of danger.
Oh.
So what happened is, this is really weird. So the next day I went to work, And I put on my computer, and it was an email from her, from this lady. And it said, "Donna, you're not going to believe this, but at 10 o'clock last night, my boyfriend's daughter called him, and she's coming home, and he's picking her up today. Isn't that crazy?"
Yeah.
So she said, "You told me that you were going to bring her home, and you did. I know you did." As a matter of fact, I have that on my blog, and I even wrote in what she sent me, you know, what she wrote, emailed over to me. But it's really weird. So anyway, to make a long story short, the daughter came, you know, back, and she's been living with her dad, and she's like, you know, in her early 20s now, and she's going to college and everything, and everything's working out. So it's just really, I don't know why I can see things and do these things. But something like that makes me feel good, because somehow that energy that I sent out there, it helped guide her, you know, to find her dad and to call him.
Right, right.
And I don't know how that happens.
Right. You don't know how it happens, but it happens.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like you have all this unexplored territory within you that you, I think that you don't even realize how much talent you have, because you haven't explored it. And I know,
no.
Like some people that have abilities, I mean, they're sort of afraid. I probably would be scared, because I don't know if I want to see things and spirits and things like this, but I don't have to worry about that because I don't have the talent, but
I never see, like what it is, the spirits and things that I see in all of the things that I'm connected to, it's nothing bad. There's nothing negative. I mean, as far as I don't, you know, communicate, or like bad spirits don't seem to communicate with me. They're just regular human, good energy type people, just regular people that happen to have passed over. And I like it that way, you know, because I don't want to know. Like if someone were to call me and say, "Donna, we're having trouble at a house and it's negative energy," I wouldn't want anything to do with it. I tell them,
I don't blame you.
No, call a priest or a minister or something. I don't want anything to do with it. And that's like, well, you know, I went to a house the next town over that they were having a haunting there, but I knew it was a regular, for some reason I knew it was just a regular human. And actually, it's right next to a church, and they had a priest from the church go over and bless the house, but they still had the haunting. So I went over there, and I was working for a real estate agency, and this agent happened to get a call that day from this woman who bought the house, and she said, "Is this house haunted?" So, you know, no, it's not haunted, and not that I know of. So to make a long story short, we went over there, and, you know, I came in contact with this man that was there and that they had been seeing, and I described him, and I said he died of a heart attack 5 years ago in his kitchen when he was 57, and all these things, and everything proved to be true. I said he's dressed in new clothes, he's carrying all these new men's shirts. It turned out that he owned a men's clothing store, and he did die in his kitchen of a heart attack. All these crazy things.
Oh my God, Donna.
Yeah, it's just And I helped them over the other side. I've actually helped spirits, guided them to pass over. And I don't
know.
That's
great.
I don't know how I know how to do these things, but it's just that I know how to do them. And I don't know, like, it's almost like I'm guided how to do them.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to give you 2 weeks to get going on readings. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I think it sounds like fun. Well, it made me feel better that I did okay with Jennifer, you know.
Of course.
So,
yeah,
that made
okay.
Yeah, Jennifer is wonderful. So,
she is.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, so we'll plan on it. Well, first Chris is going to scoop you up, but then we'll plan on it at some point afterward.
Okay.
But Donna, thank you so very much for joining us tonight, and I hope the rest of your night is wonderful, and much love to you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. I love you, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Sure. Anytime, Donna. Anytime. Thank you. And you guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, good night.
Night.
Good night. I can cry on. I need a shoulder.